First Peter chapter 5 this morning. First Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Peter begins by saying, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called you into eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the ability, the health, the wherewithal to come to your house today, to assemble ourselves together, to study your word, to sing your praises. And then, Father, as we gather again to look at this passage of scripture, to recognize that indeed you're God, not we ourselves. And Father, we praise you and ask that you would work in our lives. Lord, if decisions need to be made even today, whether it be that first time public profession of faith in Christ, rededication of life, this is your church. We are your people. This altar is yours. And we pray, Father, you would use it as only you know how to do, and that it would bring glory and honor to Jesus in all that we do. For these things we ask in his precious name. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but of late I've heard the word survival used quite a few times. I've heard it on the news. I've heard people talking about their economic situation or whatever and talking about hoping to survive the crisis. And heard it used in other ways, but that word survival comes up, has been coming up. Friday, I went to the dentist to have one of my teeth fixed because I broke it Monday. So I, had a real sharp little tooth there almost all week long. And lo and behold, when I get to the dentist's office, you know how they have those marvelous magazines there for you to read. Because, you're going to come at 9:15. That's your appointment. And then somewhere along about 10 o'clock, they'll come get you. Why couldn't they just ask you to come about 10? Well, anyway, they have these great magazines there for you to read. And this magazine, National Geographic Adventure. Can you see it? I don't know if you can or not, but it says, "How to Survive." And then over here it says, "How to Survive Almost Anything." And I thought to myself, well, Lord, you must be speaking to me about how to survive. And so I thought to myself, let's look and see what the scripture says about survival. And lo and behold, I found out, the scripture doesn't use that word, but it does talk about survival versus victory. If we define the word survival, it means living or continuing longer beyond the existence of another person, another thing, or another event. The Apostle Paul writes in this letter here to the scattered, the battered, the embattled believer in Christ. And he tells them to steel themselves, to be strong against overwhelming forces that we face and they faced in the first century. And his message is really kind of simple. It is stand fast. Don't run. Stand. And God will give you the victory. Well, rejection, persecution, those things have happened all along. They will continue to happen right up until the time the Lord comes. But the Lord doesn't simply want us to survive. He wants us to have victory, even in the present. He wants us to have victory. So today, the cross that once was a shame, God has turned to a crown of glory, hasn't he? The cross was an instrument of torture and death. Now, every Christian church that I know anything about has some symbol of the cross in its building, because God transformed that image of cruelty, death, persecution, to one of life and joy and victory. The psalmist tells us that weeping may endure for a night. But what comes in the morning? Joy. So there is a mingling of the reality of the world that is set against us, and there is persecution, there is injustice, there are wrongs, there are evils, but over against that, there is the power of God, and the scripture says, God's going to win. The forces of evil look overwhelming. The battle looks like it's teetering in favor of the enemy, but the scripture says, take heart, stand, God is going to win. Now, we all recognize that we're living in very volatile times, explosive, in fact. Every day seems to bring some new revelation, some great challenge that we must face day by day. And many feel that they're kind of at the mercy of these uncontrollable circumstances. Thus, the focus becomes how to survive, doesn't it? If I can just, we just get through this, if we can just survive, we'll be okay. Well, how are we to navigate? How are we to get through these gigantic barriers, which indeed we all face? Well, the survival expert in this magazine, whose name is Lawrence Gonzalez, Lawrence says there's a chemical makeup in the brain that shifts under the pressure of crisis. He says it can shift for good in that under a crisis, we can begin to make responses and actions that bring out of that crisis something good. Or he says that shift can happen in our lives and bad things can happen as well. He said, and I'll quote this, he says, after more than three decades of analyzing those who lived, those who died, and why in crisis, he says, I realize that thinking plays a major role in those who survived versus those who died. Well, Paul says over in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, he says, for God hath not given to us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. I think what Paul is saying there is that there is something that happens in our lives that we must recognize, and we must recognize it in twofold way. One is that we will encounter things that are going to scare us. But God is not surprised by that, nor is he overtaken, and he has equipped us with power. The Holy Spirit of God lives within every believer. His love is overshadowing us all the way. God loves us with an everlasting love. He never varies. He never changes. He loves you from the day one to the day you come into the task, into the crisis, and through the crisis. And he loves you. And then he's given you a sound mind. Well, fear, that's common, isn't it? It's common to every man. It's common to everybody's life. In fact, fear is the circumstance under which almost all people live their lives. Did you know that? Most people live in a constant state of fear. They're afraid they're going to lose their jobs, and that certainly has come to the forefront in recent days, hasn't it? Not too long ago, 6 months ago, we weren't worrying about our jobs as much as we were worrying about when we go to the gas station and what the price of gas is. It's interesting, isn't it? How that shifts. But it's still, there's a fear. Fear of losing our jobs, fear of how to pay the bills, all those kind of things. And some people's lives are actually dominated by fear. They're almost paralyzed by it. There's then a thing that Paul says is a spirit of fear. This is not of God. God didn't give you a spirit of fear. This spirit comes from the world. And the great heroes of the Bible, many times, were dominated, and sometimes they almost were overwhelmed by fear in their life. Peter, on several occasions, displayed fear. Here's this one who we think about as the great hero of the faith in the New Testament, this fearless, courageous guy who seems to be right out front every time. But the Bible says, and it does in Matthew chapter 14, for example, when Peter saw the winds and the waves, they were boisterous. The scripture says he was afraid. Well, I think we all experience fear to some sense, but we also need to recognize that fear, the spirit of fear, does not come from God. The spirit of fear comes from the world. It is a spirit of fear that would have you not do what you know to do and to do rightly. It causes us sometimes to be so paralyzed that we don't move at all. We want to do this thing. We want to see this happen, but because of the spirit of fear that comes over us, we just don't do anything at all. How many times have you went to some sort of job interview and you haven't met the guy, you haven't met the gal or whatever, and you're sitting out there in that office and you're just nervous, you know, and, you know, you're reading all the goofy magazines and trying to, you know. Sometimes when you go to the dentist's office, you're afraid, aren't you? What is he going to do? Is he going to... Isn't that always that drill has a sound to it. I don't know about your... Does your dentist do that? He takes it and goes... Zzz, zzz. Like to... Okay, brace yourself, you know. He hasn't done anything. But you're fearful. I had a broke tooth. I was thinking to myself... You know, I wasn't so concerned in a real sense that it might be painful. I was concerned that it would be ka-ching. I was thinking to myself, we've got this new insurance that nobody knows exactly what it's supposed to do. It's costing more than it did last year, doing less. And so now this is my first dental thing. You know, what's it going to cost? I don't know. So I was kind of concerned about that. And so I was sitting there thinking to myself, you know, well, goodness gracious, might as well just brace yourself. It's going to cost a fortune to have this tooth fixed. And the little girl that was going to clean my teeth that day, I already had my teeth scheduled to be cleaned. And they said, well, just come on in. We'll clean your teeth and then we'll look at the other thing. She looked at, I said, can you see that tooth? She said, yeah, it looks there it is. Looks pretty good. Oh, pretty great. She said, just kind of sheared almost right in half. Oh, that don't sound good. Doctor came in. The first thing I wanted him to do was look at that tooth. He was checking out the, you know, cleanliness of the cleaning process. Forget that. I don't care anything about that. What about the tooth? Well, he looks pretty good. He says, it kind of sheared right in half. And then he said, I think I can fix it. I thought, oh, praise the Lord. Okay. Well, we get all caught up in things before we're ever there. We're afraid of it. That's a spirit of fear. God didn't tell you to be fearful of the dentist. God didn't say, look, you're going to get a bill that's going to overwhelm you. No. What has God said? God has said, I'll be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I haven't given you that spirit of fear. I have endued you with power. I love you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to be with you all the way. Matter of fact, he says, I want you to have a sound mind. You know, sometimes my little grandson has to go to the dentist that's going to give him some sort of sedative thing. Because he thinks in his head, this is going to be terrible. And so he's already almost uncontrollably in fear before he ever goes to the doctor. Now, last time they did something that was, I think, helpful. They went to have their teeth cleaned and they let Caleb go first. Caleb don't care. Just put me in the seat. Let's get this over with. There's going to be some kind of prize. What is it? You know, let's get this thing done. And so they let Andrew watch him. I thought, now that's good. He'll see that you can actually survive teeth cleaning without having to, you know, go under some sort of sedation. Well, God didn't give you the spirit of fear. God has given you power and love and sound mind. To have success in this world, we have to prepare ourselves beforehand. Gonzalez said it in his article. He says, it's too late when you're in the midst of a crisis to learn survival tools. If you don't already know, you're in big trouble. And I think to myself, that's what God is saying too in 2 Timothy. He's saying, study to show yourself approved. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God is saying, prepare yourself for every avenue of life. Prepare yourself because you are going to face some things that are not going to be friendly to you. They're going to be frightening. But you can steel yourself against that if you prepare yourself beforehand. How do we prepare ourselves beforehand? Well, we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved. That is not simple. That's work. We don't like work, but that's what we need to do. Who would want to go to have their broken tooth filled or fixed to the first person you meet on the street? This guy looks good. Hey, how about fixing my tooth? We wouldn't want that. We want somebody who has what? Trained, prepared themselves, knows, quote unquote, how to fix a tooth. Listen, that's what God is saying. Prepare yourself so that you can face the circumstances of life. And when you are prepared beforehand, then those circumstances will not overwhelm you. You'll be able to handle them. Gonzalez says we need to understand that we live in a linked system. That was a very interesting thing that he has in here. I wish we had our projection thing because I'd put this up. He has like little cogs in this particular section. And in this particular section of a machine gear cogs, there's a couple of little pebbles. And one of those little pebbles is right there in the cog. What's going to happen when that cog turns with that pebble there? Havoc. Havoc. So he says, listen, we need to recognize that we're kind of in a system that's all linked together. And when something happens, it sets everything into motion differently than it would have been beforehand. Things change because of that circumstance or that crisis. He says, and I believe this is true, even the smallest things we do have ramifications. Friends, I think even the smallest things that we do for God can have eternal consequences to ourselves and to others. Do you know that? I really think so. I read, and he gives an example. He says, there was someone, and they were climbing on Mount Hood. These four climbers were linked together with a rope, and on the way up, these four men began to fall. And they began to drag each other down, because they were linked to each other. And on the way down, they actually passed three more climbers that were linked together in that group. And one of them caught that rope that the other group was linked together with, and they pulled them down too into a crevasse. During the rescue attempt, a military helicopter went up to pick them up. That helicopter crashed. And he says, because of the complex coupling of the natural system in which all these people were present, their equipment and their operation, one man's foot slipping caused a chain of events that killed three people and injured others. Now, I hope you can see that this really is true in life. Friends, we're all linked together. No man is an island unto himself. When you do something, it's going to affect somebody else, for good or for bad. And we need to recognize that. And we need to realize that. And that's kind of a negative example. But there are positive examples as well. Couldn't we talk about? We could talk about the positive things that happen that influence your life or my life. Someone did such and so to someone else and someone else and someone else. And here we are at this juncture, which we're praising God for. So there's a link there that we cannot escape. Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. He's talking about Adam. He says, so by the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, so many were made righteous. Made righteous. I think that what Paul is saying there is talking about this link that we have together as human beings. We all pursue and fall after the pattern and similitude of Adam, but all can be made righteous in Christ because of the link that God has made to us in Jesus. You can make a difference. Did you know that? And you are making a difference. You're either making a difference for something good or you're making a difference for something evil. Well, next big problem when we're in a crisis is to deny that we're in a crisis. So to deny and be in denial. Gonzalez once again says, he said a bank guard was moonlighting. He was a policeman, but he was moonlighting as a bank guard, and he saw three men with assault rifles, black clothing, black hoods over their face, enter into the foyer of the bank. And this is what the guard said he thought. He says, at first I thought maybe there were a SWAT team practicing. Maybe some denial going on there. He said his second thought was, and I like this one. This is true. This is a true story. He said, I thought maybe these were guys dressed up for Halloween. And maybe they were trick-or-treaters. Deny. Double denial. You know. He just couldn't quite bring himself to believe that somebody was going to rob the bank. That had never happened in his whole lifetime. He said he never drew his gun. All the times he was on the LAPD, he never fired a shot. He'd never been in that kind of situation. He said the most complicated thing he'd ever been in was a traffic accident. Now he's a bank guard, just trying to pick up a few extra bucks. And here's guys coming into the bank at midnight, at 1 o'clock in the morning, dressed in black with assault rifles. They're going to rob the bank. He just couldn't quite say that's what was going to happen. But finally, he said, I did something. I sounded the alarm and I began to shoot. Well, he finally got over the denial, didn't he? This is kind of a common thing. It's a common reaction for us to deny what's going on around us. The fire alarm can be going off. God can be shouting, hey, 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 danger, danger, Will Robinson, danger, you know. And we go, well, must be trick-or-treaters. Well, it's not. It's not trick-or-treat. It's not Halloween. And perhaps it's time that we listen to the alarm bells. It might be good for us to do that. Because we're heading in a direction that has brought disaster to us and everybody around us. Yet we want to continue doing that? No, of course not. It might be good for us to hear the warning bells. God says, for all the sin to come short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. We need something to happen to us. In Romans 6 and 23, God says, the wages of sin is death. That's what's going to happen. That's the payday that we're looking for. In Romans 6 and 33 again, he says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's saying, hey, wake up. You're going in the wrong direction. Turn around. Come to me. Bible says that God commended, he demonstrated his love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God didn't wait for you to get fully in the stew. He took initiative to rescue you and turn your life around. Romans 10 and 9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God's wanting you to turn it around. Stop denying that you don't need anything. You need something. You need a new heart. You need a new life. You need a new way of thinking. You need a new purpose. And God wants to do that. Well, Gonzalez goes on to say in the article one more thing. He says that we must trust our instincts. Well, I'm not so keen about that. But the Bible does say we need to trust God. He says here in chapter 5, cast all your cares upon him. Well, what? He careth for you. Have you ever been in a situation you couldn't do anything about? Yeah, we all are. We actually have a choice. We can either deny that and continue to go on in the same direction we are. You know what somebody defined insane as being? Doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. That's insane. We need to do something about it. Cast your cares on God because he cares for you. Listen, a lot of folks are just simply going through life hoping they're going to survive. Did you know that? They're living in a spirit of fear and they're just hoping they're going to survive. God says, listen, that didn't come from me. I want to give you power and love and a sound mind, and I want to give you victory. The choice is yours. Now, this was a very interesting little article, but this one's better. This one's better. This guy claims to be an expert. This guy is God. Read that. It's fun. I'll leave it here and you can read it if you want to. But this one's better. Claim the promises of God and see what God will do for you. You know, I heard on the radio as I was coming over to visit Chuck last night at the hospital that some people have been hiking up Pike's Peak. Now, my mom and dad drove up Pike's Peak years and years ago, and it's kind of a hair-raising experience going up. But the coming down is the deal. And so people are hiking up to Pike's Peak. And you know what they do when they get up to Pike's Peak? Call 911 and say, we can't get down. And then helicopters have been going up and bringing them down. I thought, that's kind of cute. Well, search and rescue and all those folks are getting tired of that. And so now if you call 911 from Pike's Peak and there's nothing physically wrong with you, they're going to charge you. They're going to charge you for everything it costs to take the helicopter up, the gas, all that, the people, all that. And then they're going to fine you $500 more on top of that. Aha. Bing, 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 bing. Don't do that. Don't do that. God's saying, stop going in that direction. Come in this direction. You want to just survive, keep going. But if you want victory, come to me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, your mercy in our lives. We thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you, Father God, that you're way out in front of us, that you have explored the territory that we're about to embark upon. You know the pitfalls and the dangers. You're willing, Father God, to help us navigate around those and through them that we might indeed live life to the fullest and be satisfied and find joy in Christ Jesus. Father, even this morning as we come to this place of invitation, if there's that one here today who needs to come, make a good open public profession of faith in Christ, whatever it might be, Heavenly Father, you have your way for these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.